Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming back. Tonight's going to be a little different for me. I am not a rah-rah type of person. I'm not a big cheerleader type, but tonight I'm going to try to encourage you through God's Word. I'm not. As my family knows, I'm pretty, as I said this morning, teen class, I'm a pretty even-keeled person. I don't get too excited. I don't get too low. But I do get excited about God's Word, and I do get excited about the things of the Lord, and I want to try to encourage you through His Bible, because that's where we should get our strength and our encouragement from, is through the Lord. And as I was studying this week, the Lord put me to the test of trying to encourage people. Because I went and visited some people at the nursing home. And Pastor Snow didn't go with me this time because he is a great person to go with because he keeps the conversation going. As my wife will tell you, I am not a great conversationalist. So when I went by myself, as I was talking, I had to try to keep the conversation going. I was trying to encourage people. Now I'll get into that a little bit later. But if you'd stand with me while we read God's Word and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the title of the message is Remember. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word, Lord. And I just pray that, Lord, you'll take over my thoughts and take over my speech. And, Lord, just take control of me, Lord, that I would be able to be a blessing to the people, Lord, that I would say the things that you'd have me to say, Lord, and nothing that I shouldn't say, Lord, I ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was getting ready for this message, the verse 12 where it says, for I know whom I have believed, that caught my attention because when I got saved, I realized who I was. And maybe that's why when I preach a lot, I preach about on trying to live a life for Christ and trying to live without sinning and try to live a righteous life. And I don't always do that, but I try to do that because I know where I came from. And I know whom I believed. I know that Jesus Christ saved my soul. Saved me a sinner that I was, a person that didn't do right, a person that did all kinds of things wrong, a person that if I saw them today in my teen class, I would be worried about them because I was that person that I wouldn't want to be around my kids because I know what I did. Now, I wasn't that way outwardly, but I know the things that I did, and the Lord saved me from that. And Paul, and I believe Paul is telling Timothy the same thing, for I know whom I believe. Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus that day, and Paul got saved. And I believe Paul he experienced the mercy and love of Christ because he was killing Christians. And I believe Paul saw that Christ loved him despite of what he was. Paul loved him even though he was killing God's servant, although he was doing the things against Jesus Christ, the same that we did before we got saved. And he saw the love of Christ and he said, I know who I believe, Timothy. And I want to call to remembrance the faith that you have that was, and it says that first dealt with your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. The unfeigned faith. You were raised in a Christian home. You were raised by people that had faith. You need to remember the faith that they had. Remember the faith that you have. And because I believe Pastor has been talking about discouragement. That's something that the devil uses a lot. Discouragement, doubt, and despair. The three D's, if you want to call them that. That's what I call them because it's three D's. That is a lot in the world. There is a lot of despair and a lot of doubt in the world of what, where the world's going, where the world's heading, where America is heading to, our morality. There's a lot of doubt in despair and discouragement, but not only in the world from lost people, but also in churches. There's a lot of doubt and despair in our churches. As I talk to Christian people, they have a lot of doubt of, is it, as Pastor talked about the other day, is it worth serving the Lord? Is it worth doing right? Is it worth giving my life to Christ? And we have a lot of doubt. And the answer is, as Paul is telling Timothy, is yes. Because Christ saved your soul. And you're going to go, and he's telling Timothy, you're going to go through, and since for he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to what we want to do, but according to his purpose. He has a purpose in our life. He has a purpose for us to do something. We don't always know what that purpose is, and we go through things that we don't understand, but it's for the Lord's purpose. He has a purpose in the reason he lets us go through things. And we get discouraged, and we doubt, and we wonder why. Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to go through these heartaches? Why do I have to deal with these things? Why do I have to deal with this sickness? Why, if I'm serving the Lord, why does the Lord doing this to me? And that's what we always say. Why is the Lord doing this to me? And we doubt who God is. And we doubt his love for us. And as John sang that song today, I was thinking about this message. The love of God, we can't even comprehend the love of God that he has towards us. We get a small glimpse of it through his sending of his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. Knowing that we would be right there yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And we say, I would never do that. I wouldn't say that. You don't know unless you were there. We said that when we sin. We can say, well, I would have followed Jesus. Well, all the disciples said they would follow Jesus too, but they all forsook him. We would forsake him. But Christ still loves us enough, no matter the things that we do against him, the doubt that we have in him. Because we have doubts who Christ is. Not who he is as our Savior, but we have doubts. And I want us to remember, and that's the only way that we're going to get encouragement is if we remember who God is and who Christ is and what he did for us. And you have to remember yourself for what Christ did for you. Because Christ deals with us all differently. Christ has done things in my life that he has probably not done in your life. And the things that I remember what he did for me is different for the things that he remembered what he did for you. And you've got to draw on your own remembrance of what those things are. You have to remember who you were before you met Christ. You have to remember who Christ is. We get encouragement through the Bible. The world is full of despair, doubt, and discouragement. But the Bible is full of hope. It's full of victory. And it's full of encouragement. As I was studying for this, there were some people that I thought about that had to get some encouragement or had to encourage somebody. And the first one I think about is Joshua. If you turn to Joshua 24, as Joshua was getting ready to die, he was trying to encourage the Israelites. He was trying to encourage them, and he was trying to bring back to memory the things that God did for them. And we won't read all of it, but if you look at in Joshua, he was telling them, you know, your fathers were in Egypt, and Moses brought them out. Moses brought them out, and Moses brought them across the Red Sea, and they were scared, and they had despair because they thought they were going to be overtaken. And God protected them, and God took care of them. And now you came onto the other side of Jericho, and when you came in, when you are on the other side of Jordan, when you came in, God took care of all those battles. God took care of all those people. God protected you. And Joshua was telling him all these things. And then in verse 24:15, which is one of my favorite verses, says, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." Joshua was basically telling him, look, God did all these things for you. Now you decide who you're going to serve. Now you can say, well, that's not very encouraging. He was scolding them. But he encouraged them first. He said, remember what God did. Remember who he is. Remember the power that he is. Remember how he protected you. Now, if you don't want to serve him, that's your choice. And I think Joshua was saying, now you decide. And it's kind of like when you come to church. Not everybody gets encouraged when they come to church. Some people get discouraged, which is weird to say, but because sometimes preachers will say, hey, look, the Lord saved your soul. The Lord did these things for you. Now you decide what you're going to do. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Joshua is trying to encourage him, but he said, you've got to choose. You've got to remember who God is. You've got to remember the power that God has. You've got to remember the God that we serve is the God that created the universe. He is the one that is in control of everything. He is the one that loved you enough that he sent his son. And the Bible says, if he would send his son, why would he withhold anything good from you? Why would he let evil come upon you? Why would he let all these things happen? And to be honest with you, a lot of things that we go through are of our own doing. It's our own fault. But we always blame God for it. But we need to look at it, and sometimes we go through things that we don't understand. But you have to understand, God is still the God that is watching over us. God is still the God that is in control of the universe. God, you've got to choose. And he's encouraging, don't give up. Paul was encouraging Timothy, don't give up. Things are going to be hard. Things are going to be tough. Stay in the fight. Because we want to quit a lot. You say, well, I never wanted to quit. Well, I don't believe you. I'm just saying, because I believe at some point or another, we all wanted to quit. We all get tired. We all get frustrated. We all get discouraged. We all wonder, is it really worth it? Is it really worth doing everything I'm doing? Is it really worth the sacrifice? It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the sacrifice because what's Christ sacrificed for us? And if you read in verse 13, it says, this is what God said, I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat. But I liken that unto heaven. God has given us a place in heaven that we get to go to, that we didn't labor for, we didn't fight for, we didn't do anything to earn it. But he's given that to us. He's given us the ability to get there through Jesus Christ. He has given us that place in heaven. He has given us that land. And I say that's the promised land up there for us as Christians. That's where we get to go one day. We get to go to heaven and we didn't do anything for it. The only thing that you have to do to go to heaven is accept what Christ did for you. And that's what Joshua was telling them. You didn't do anything for this land that God promised you. He promised it to your father Abraham. And he's going through with this promise. He's saying, you get to go there and you did nothing for it. Then he says, now choose. Who are you going to serve? That's what I like to say to people. The things that Christ did for you, and you're going to complain and you're going to murmur and you're going to say, I don't want to live for Christ. I don't want to do those things. You're going to accept heaven. But you're going to live your life the way you want to live it. You're going to choose not to serve him. Is that encouraging? Hopefully it's encouraging and not discouraging. The other person I thought of was David. The preacher talked about him a little bit today. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. David, when he was going to meet his brothers, he was going to take some bread and cheese and stuff to his brothers. And he heard Goliath speaking, and he heard Goliath, and he said, wait, what is going on here? And there was despair, and there was discouragement, and there was doubt in all that camp. Because all of Israel said, man, there's no way we can beat Goliath. Despair is when there is no hope. They didn't have any hope. Because nobody was going out to battle him. Nobody was saying a while ago. Nobody was remembering who God was. Because if they were to remember who God was, they would say, well, God will take care of us because He's taken care of us all these years. But David said, you know what? Is there not a cause? And his brother did encourage him. His brother was discouraging him. He said in verse 28, why camest thou down here? Why did you come here? Just go away. You're of no help. So he wasn't very encouraging to David. Then David went and talked to Saul. And you would think, well, Saul would say, great. No, you know what Saul said? Thou art not able to stand and go fight against. You can't go fight against him. You're just a little kid. He'll kill you. He wasn't very encouraging to David either. He was discouraging to David. He was saying, you can't do that. And that's what we get. That's what we get from the world. That's what we get from people. And that's what we get that from other Christians. You can't do that. You can't live a life for Christ. You can't live a holy life. You can't, Russell, you can never go be a missionary. You say, well, people would never say that, would they? Yeah, people say that. Christian people say that. You can't do the things that God wants you to do. But you know where David got his encouragement from? He remembered what the Lord did for him. He remembered what God did. And he told Paul or Saul in verse 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Because he remembered when he was taking care of his sheep that he killed a lion. I mean, he grabbed the lion. Now, I don't believe David's that big of a guy that he could punch a lion and kill it. But he said, well, God did that for me. And the God that did that for me will be the God that will take care of me when I go out and I fight Goliath. And as Pastor said, you know, I don't know how David walked out there, you know, and maybe he just walked there, but as Pastor said, he was like running like, hey, let's go, man. Because the Lord is with me and I know He's going to take care of me. I'm not afraid of you. He got his encouragement from God. That's where we need to get our encouragement from. Remembering what the Lord did for us. Remembering what the things that you prayed about and the Lord answered those prayers. The things that the Lord brought you through. The ability that the Lord gave you to do things for Him. Those are the things that we need to remember when we're down and we're feeling bad and we're getting discouraged and we have doubts of who God is. David remembered who God was, despite of the people around him saying, you can't do those things. He remembered that God took him through that. The other person I thought of was Elijah. If you turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. You know, and I thought of Job, and you can go through the Bible and you can think of all kinds of people if you want to go through and see how they were maybe discouraged and maybe in doubt. And there's a lot of people in the Bible that had doubts and had discouragement. And how the Lord came through them. And people will say, well, I'm not one of those. I'm not Job. I'm not David. I'm not Paul. I'm just a regular person. They were just regular people too. That God used. That God had a plan in their life. And they were regular people. David was just a shepherd boy. He wasn't anything special. He was special because he came through the lineage and he was one that God was going to use. But David didn't know that. David didn't know God was going to use him to do this thing. David didn't know that he was going to be the king of Israel. David didn't know those things when he was a young boy. He was just taking care of the sheep. And then he realized God took care of him. And he put his faith in the Lord. And the Lord used him in a mighty way. But David didn't know that at the time. You may be going through something. You may be doing something. God may be preparing you to do something great. You don't know. But God knows. Because as Paul was telling Timothy, it's according to God's purpose. It's not according to what you want to do. It's not according to what you believe you should do. It's not according to your works. It's according to God's purpose for your life, the things that He lets you go through. And you say, well, how does that help me when I'm going through it? We have to try to remember. I may be going through something for down the road to help somebody else out. I may be going through this So down the road, I can be a better person here. Down the road, I can help this person. Or I'm going through this to show somebody that they can make it through too. We don't know. We don't know what God's plan is, what God's purpose is. And as I talked to someone the other day, we always want to know why. But sometimes knowing why doesn't help you. It's not going to help you through what you're going through. The only thing that we have to understand is God is in charge of it. And we might be going through it. Reason we don't have to understand, but God knows. And that's okay. Because I know God loves me. If you look at Elijah was, God said, He said, Elijah, you go tell him it's not going to rain until you say it's going to rain. So Elijah went and told him, it's not going to rain until I say so. Until I say it's going to rain, there's going to be no rain in the land. And God said, I want you to go down to the brook Cherith, and I want you to go there, and I'll send ravens to feed you. And Elijah said, okay. He went over there, and lo and behold, ravens came and fed him. And that was about a year's time. And then everything dried up. I'm sure Elijah was probably wondering, how long am I going to have to stay here? Food's being brought to me by ravens? What is going on? I'm sure he was doubting, okay, Lord, well, what? How long is this drought going to happen? How long am I going to have to stay here and be by this brook by myself? Because I don't believe he was around other people. And I'm sure he was doubting what's going on. And then it dried up. And I thought, man, now what's going to happen? The Lord said, now I want you to go find this widow woman. She's going to take care of you. He went and found the widow woman. And the widow woman, and he said, hey, I need you to make me some food. And what did she say? She said, I've only got a little bit left and I'm going to make some food for me and my son, then we're going to die. And he said, no, the Lord said that you're going to make me some food and your barrel's never going to run out until this drought is over. And she said, okay. And as she was doing these things, she was doing what the Lord wanted her to do, because the Lord told Elijah, I will have a widow woman do this for you. And she was doing what the Lord said for her to do. And what happened to her? Did she get blessed beyond measure? She did, because she didn't run out of food. But then her son got sick. And her son died. And I'm certain, and she even said, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing all these things and now you're going to take my son away? And that's what we do too. I'm doing these things for the Lord and I got to go through this? I don't understand. Sometimes even when you do things for the Lord, even when you live your life for God and you do things that the Lord wants you to do, you're still going to have to go through hard times. You still might lose a loved one. You still might get some disease. You still might go through hardships. But God has a reason. And God is the one watching. And God and Elijah ended up praying over that child, and that child came back to life. And I think the Lord did a lot of those things, not just for the widow woman, but He did it for Elijah. Because, as you know the story, Elijah had to go, and he said, you go tell Ahab that you want to see him today. And he told him, okay, the drought's over. And then he went and he had to face Ahab. And he had to call down the fire of God when he stood by the prophets of Baal. I think Elijah had to remember who God was. And God did that through taking care of him. So when he stood in front of Ahab and he stood and he said, I'm going to call down fire from heaven and it's going to take care of this sacrifice. And the fire came down and it took care of the sacrifice. And then all those false prophets and all those people, Elijah proved who God was. And I like what Elijah said to the people, though, before. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Kind of like what Joshua said, choose you this day. But he said, Elijah said, if the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. He said, you know what? Even if I'm the only one standing, I'm the only one left, I'm going to believe the Lord. And he did. But you know, after that happened, you know what happened to Elijah? He doubted again. Because he ran into, God said, you go to this cave. He went into a cave. He said, man, I just want to die. I'm all by myself. He had nobody to encourage him. He had nobody there to say, look, Elijah, you're not alone. Look, man, look what God did. God took care of you those 3 years. God took care of you when there was a drought. God took care of you all the time. Elijah forgot. Sometimes we forget what God's done for us. Sometimes we forget that God is the one that took care of us. And Elijah wanted to just die. He said, I'm all by myself. I'm all alone. There's no one left. Did you know who encouraged him? The Lord did. And if you look at what happened, in 1 Kings 19 and verse 11. And the Lord said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood and entered into the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? God sometimes talks to us and encourages us in a small voice that only we can hear. That he has just for you. Maybe an encouraging word that only you would understand. Something that just for you that he's talking to. Sometimes we expect God to do this great and mighty thing to show us. But sometimes God doesn't do that. God just talks to us in a small voice. God doesn't always have to be the great and powerful God that he is. He doesn't have to always show us his great power. We want him to do that because then we can say, well, see, that's who God is. Sometimes it's just a small voice. And I think God told Elijah, look, Elijah, I took care of you all those times. You're not alone. And even if you're the only one left, the Lord is always with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter where you're at, no matter what situation you're in, God is always with you. Although we say, well, I don't see God, I don't feel God, we don't see him in the earthquake, and we don't see him in the fire, I don't see him anywhere, but he's there in a small voice. Well, we've got to be listening for that voice. We've got to be listening for him to talk to us, listening for him to tell us, I love you, and I'll take care of you. And he will. And as I think about encouragement, I think about the book of Psalms and King David. King David, I believe, had a lot of doubts, and I believe that he went through a lot of battles, and Saul was trying to kill him, and he was hiding, and he had Jonathan to encourage him, but a lot of times David was by himself. And David had to find encouragement in God. And if you read the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms tells us how much God loves us. The book of Psalms tells us who God is, how merciful God is. The book of Psalms tells us all these things about God. And the problem is, we don't read this book. We don't listen to the small voice that comes out of this Bible. Because that's where the small voice comes from God's Word. And when we read this, then we say, Psalms 18, for example, in verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God. My deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And there's all kinds of verses like that in the book of Psalms. If we would just read it and we would get that down in our heart and we would keep that with us. We can get encouragement. We don't have to get encouragement from somebody else. But that's what church is for too. The church is so you can come to church and you can get encouraged by the Word of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves to get together as some do, but exhorting one another. Exhorting means encouraging one another to do things. When you come to church, it's supposed to be to encourage you to live for God, encourage you to live for Christ, encourage you to go on, encourage you to keep battling in this fight that we're in this world. Life is not a bed of roses. Life is not something that we just we go by and we're happy-go-lucky and everything is great, and it's not a movie. It's not fantasy. Life is hard. And I'm not an old person. I'm getting older, but I'm not an old person. No offense to any older people. But they say getting older is not for sissies. Right? I talk to Brother Fox a lot. And I can imagine, and as I get older, I realize you have more aches and pains and things are harder to do. As we go through this life, things are going to be tough. Things are going to be hard. Paul told Timothy, you're going to go through the afflictions. You're going to go through things. And as Pastor Snow said the other day, God never promises everything was going to be easy. But God does promise that He'll be there with us. God does promise that He will take care of us. God promises that He will not let His children go without what they need. He said He will supply all of our needs. Look, our problem is we have more wants than we have needs. God's not going to supply all of your wants. God will supply your needs. God will take care of you. But we forget that sometimes, and we complain, and we're like the children of Israel. We murmur, oh, not manna again. Really? When we should be thankful for what we have. But we complain, especially in America, because we're spoiled. We are spoiled people. I've never been to another country, but I've been places where I see how people live. Man, I am blessed beyond measure in my life. But we forget that. And we need to remember those things. I went to the nursing homes, as I was saying, and if you go to a nursing home, when you come out, you will be encouraged. And it's in a morbid way, because I was encouraged that I'm not there. I was encouraged. I talked to a man who's, well, I say a man, well, he's a man, but he's a boy. He's 26 years old. And he's in a wheelchair. And as I talked to him, and as like I said, God put you to the test, because when I was studying for this message about encouraging, trying to encourage people, I had to go and try to encourage these people at the nursing home. And he was having a hard day. He says, I feel like I'm cursed in this body. What do I say to that? How do I encourage a 26-year-old kid that has been in the nursing home for a year that is probably never going to get out? That can't do anything. He can't walk because he said his arthritis is so bad that he can't walk. He's in a wheelchair. And I guess when they try to move him, his skin rips. And how do you encourage somebody in that way? How do you encourage that person in that situation? What can I tell him? And I told him, I said, you know, there's nothing that I can tell you because I don't know what you're going through. I can't say, oh, I know how you feel, because I don't. Because I can walk and I'm not in a wheelchair and I have my health. How do I encourage him? The only thing that I could do is quote scripture. Tell him about God and ask him, do you know the Lord is your Savior? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, then, you know, one day, the only thing that I could come up with, I said, I can tell you all kinds of things. And I said, but I can try to tell you why, but I don't know why. I'm not going to lie to you. I can't give you a reason because I don't know. I don't know why you're in that situation. I don't know why you're in that wheelchair. Only God does. I said, well, maybe you're here to encourage other people. I said, because you seem to do a pretty good job of that. And he does. He drives around in his wheelchair and he talks to people. And usually, you know, he seems like he tries to encourage other people that are there. But sometimes he needed encouraging that day because he was tears were coming out of his eyes. And he said, I don't understand it. A nursing home is for old people. I'm only 26. And I said, well, yeah, you're right. I said, but you know, at least you're here and you're being taken care of. I said, you're here. And he told me three of his family members work there. And I said, well, that's good that you're at this nursing home then, because some of your family, you get to see them. But I didn't really know what to say to him. And I said, do you have a favorite Bible verse? And he said, no. He said, I really don't. He said, I don't really read the Bible. He says, I can't really read that well. And I said, well, you need to get it on a CD so you can listen to it. And he said, well, I have it. He goes, but you know what? I don't have the time. And I said, that's a pretty poor excuse. I said, you're sitting there playing a video game. I said, he goes, yeah, I know. And you can joke with him and you can say things to him. But that gave me encouragement when I left there. And I told him, I said, I thank the Lord that I'm not in your shoes, that I can walk. And I said, the only thing that I can tell you, I said that you're 26 years old. I said, I'm almost 50. I said, 50 years has gone by like that. I said, may not have gone by that fast for you because of your situation. I said, but 26 years is nothing in God's eyes. I said, 26 years is in for eternity. I said, we can't even imagine what eternity is. And I said, you have to look at it as a, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, one day when the rapture happens or you take your last breath here on earth, there's going to be a day when you get to go to heaven and you're going to get a brand new body and you're going to live for eternity. I said, we don't know how long eternity is. I said, but that's what you get to look forward to. And at least you have that. I said, you know, the Bible is full of people that had diseases like you had that couldn't walk. And God healed some of them, but God didn't heal all of them. And not everybody that is in your situation is going to get a chance to go to heaven. Because not everybody is going to get saved. I said, but you said you know the Lord is your Savior. One day you're going to be in glory land. You're going to have a brand new body. You're going to get to run around. You never have to be in a wheelchair. And I said, that's the only thing I can give you to encourage you. That's the only thing I can tell you to try to brighten your day. That's all I had. And I asked another lady, I talked to her, and she has Alzheimer's, and I said, do you have a favorite Bible verse? And she said, yeah. And then she sat there for a second, and she said, but I don't remember. And I said, well, you know, I said, one of my favorite Bible verses that I think of is, or actually it's a favorite Psalm, Psalm 139. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, yet when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And as I told that lady, as she tried to remember, and I said, you know, sometimes, I said, you know, even God knows your thoughts, even though you don't know what your thoughts are. Because I don't believe that she knows what all of her thoughts are, because she has Alzheimer's. And she was trying to tell me things, but she couldn't remember. I said, you know, that's okay, God knows. God knows what you're thinking. God knows what your favorite verse is. God knows what you're going through. And I read that same psalm to all three of them. And I can read that same psalm to everybody I meet. Because God knows who we are. God knows everything about us. God sees the hard times we're going through. God sees the troubles that we have. God sees everything that we have. God knows our thoughts afar off. The thoughts that we don't tell anybody else. The thoughts that we have that is just with us. when you're by yourself. The thoughts that you have when you're thinking or daydreaming, when you're thinking afar off, God understands those thoughts. God knows what they are. It says, God thinks about me all the time. God thinks about you all the time. If we just think about who God is and how much He cares about us, then we should be able to go through anything that we're going through should not be that hard for us, because we know God's with us. And I know we all go through hard times, and we all go through struggles, and we all have heartaches, and we all have things that we're going through that we don't share with people. But you can share them with the Lord. Because you have to remember who He is. He's a God that loves you and a God that knows you. He's not a God that doesn't have anything to do with us. He's not a God that sits up in heaven and says, I don't want to know you till you get up here. Christ is sitting at His right hand making intercession for us. The one that died for us, the one that died for me, knowing who I was, He is sitting there beside God making intercession for me. For a person that doesn't always do what He wants me to do, for a person that doesn't always read His Bible like I should, doesn't always pray like I should, doesn't always love Him like I should, Christ is sitting right there telling God, making intercession for me. That's what we have to remember. God is always there for us. Christ is always there for us. So as you go through this life and you go through hard times, and if you haven't been through many hard times, be prepared, because you probably will. And if you haven't been through a lot, then praise the Lord. But as you're going through hard times and you're going through struggles, get in the Bible and remember who God is and what He did for you. Remember, the God of the universe loves you more than you can even comprehend. The love is that, as John sang that song, and I don't know all the words of that song, but the love of God, we couldn't even write it down. That is a great thing to know, that He loves me that much, that I couldn't even write down how much He loves me. And that's how much He loves you. Hopefully this message was an encouragement to you. Hopefully you can remember what God has done for you. Remember the thing in the past, the thing that God has brought you through to get you through the next thing you're going to go through, or the thing you're going through right now. King David went through a lot when he sinned against God, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He was having a hard time because his baby was dying. But God is also a merciful God and a forgiving God, that when we do things wrong, He forgives us for them, no matter what they are. And King David went to the Lord when he needed help, and he said, Lord, forgive me for what I sinned against You. And he understood that what he did was why his baby was dying, but God gave him the strength to get through that. God gave him the strength to get up on his feet and continue on in this path, in this life. And he went on to do what God wanted him to do. If we ask the Lord to help us, and we ask the Lord to forgive us, and we ask the Lord, whatever we ask the Lord, He is there for us. And He will help us through, to get us through this life and to do what He has planned for us to do for Him.